to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 24th, 2018. Turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but well, we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Do it right now before it's like too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is, it's 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates to the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And something I haven't told you folks before is we do have a way to take donations over the telephone if you want to call in for one from a debit or a credit card. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube live and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Of course, it goes to podcasts later on tonight. And these are the podcast places that we hear from. Just thank our listener places and that is worldwide in places like
Copenhagen, Denmark, Tunis, Pennsylvania,
Tunisia,
Biscayne, QLB, Australia. Maybe you ought to read them. Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Brisbane, Australia. Go ahead.
Liverpool, UK, and of course other cities in the good old USA, like Jacksonville, Florida, Santa Ana, California, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Missouri, New York.
As well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, at least when it goes to podcast later on tonight. I thought I was bad at pronouncing some of those names. I don't feel so bad anymore. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter. That'll be at Pastor Dan Catlin, at Brant77 on Twitter. And I have found out that the more people that you get on Twitter, the more they look at your website, and that can help the ministry. So, now prayer, and we'll talk with tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father. So please bless this program tonight and let everybody have ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, last week, Frank was on with us, folks, but actually that was supposed to be my wife, but she wasn't her fault. She actually got tied up. So she is on with her tonight. Say hello to the people, Mom, or Linda. Actually, it's Linda, but,
Mom.
It's Mom. We've debated that before, but
I have too many kids around here to call me Linda. They call Mom.
Yeah, but your driver's license says Linda. I know. I got a copy in my billfold.
Doesn't matter. You call me Mother.
Well, Mom, you need to speak up.
Hello, people.
Okay, yeah. Okay. You remember we were talking, I'll get right to this. Remember we were talking about the Boy Scouts?
Well, we touched on it, yeah.
Touched on it. And, about the girls being in there.
Ridiculous.
Involved. Okay, they have every year what they call a jamboree, right? A big gathering worldwide of all of the scouts coming together.
They
call it a jamboree. Well, of course it'll be girls and boys. It'll be anybody that's a scout. Right. Okay, now let me read this article and I'll see what you want to say. Boy Scout condoms. Anyway, a gathering of scouts from all over the world slated for next summer and hosted by big names such as Boy Scouts of America, Scouts Canada, will include condoms must be readily and easily accessible for all participants of any age. The World Organization of the Scout Movement has announced that its 24th World Scout Jamboree will be held from Sunday, July 21st, 2019 to Thursday, August 1st, 2019. It will be first to be jointly hosted by three umbrella organizations covering North America, Scouts Canada, Boy Scouts of America, and Associated Scouts of Mexico. Billed as a celebration of culture exchange, mutual understanding, peace, and friendship, the announcement promises that the gathering of thousands of young people from more than 200 countries and territories will open a new world of life-changing experiences that will help you develop your physical, intellectual, and emotional, social, and spiritual life. But many fear that the new experiences will take on an alarming new meaning this time. Page 11 of the Jamboree states, host organizations must ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants at a number of locations on the site, and that informing personnel about the policy. Consideration shall be given to the various cultures and beliefs present. The Boy Scouts' apparent acceptance of the condom policy is the latest in a list of deviations from the moral traditions that were once synonymous with the organization. The Boy Scouts of America began allowing homosexual boys to join in 2013, openly sexual adult leaders in 2015, and transgender members in 2017, and also in 2017, we now know that they allow girls into Scouts. Earlier this month, the organization will announce that their main scouting program will be renamed simply Boy Scout BSA and accept girls, as it will Cub Scout for programs will be for children 9 years old. Okay, what do you think?
So they're giving the condoms to the 9 years and younger too?
They said they have to be readily and accessible to everybody there.
That's crazy.
Now, when we talked about this last night with the girls, you know, we were thinking that some of this kind of stuff would be going on our campsites. Apparently, they anticipate it. And, you know, but what has it turned into? It used to be a moral thing. Now we have, they let gay Boy Scouts in, and then 2 years later, they allowed the leaders to be homosexual. And then after that, they allowed transgenders in, and now it's females. This could be just a big sex party.
Sounds like it.
You know, apparently they're anticipating something, or why would they be sending condoms? Now, also, we have something else going on there. At this same jamboree, they say that in certain parts of the campsite, alcohol will be available if you're old enough.
That's crazy. It's a Boy Scout camp. Why would they want to drink alcohol?
Well, they're not saying that the boys could, but you get...
Why would the adults? They have to be on their toes for the kids. They can't go off and get drunk and let the kids go have sex and get the condoms.
Well, have drunk homosexuals and transgenders and everybody else, I mean, that sounds like a disaster ready to happen.
A big time.
But see that's where we are in that time again. That's where the world's morality is headed to. When you take God out of things and you don't have to answer to a higher power, then you're only subjected to what your own conscience or law may deem permissible. And laws, man-made laws, are just that. They're man-made laws, subject to change by man. At least in our Constitution, we have certain rights that are put there by the Father, you know. But the point is when you take God out of things, this is what you get.
And fornication is against the Lord, so they shouldn't be giving nobody no condoms. And then, unless they're married, then they don't need them.
Well, first off, let's straight out. Girls shouldn't be there. They should be in their own thing, like they always was. Homosexuals should not be running the thing. And homosexual boys should not be in it. They should be being, you know, they shouldn't be in it, nor should transgenders. It should be boy scout. But that's the way it is. Now, there are some religious, there's some other things, people that are pulling out of the Boy Scouts that are going to try and create a new scout groups, you know, whatever. And the Mormons, for one, the Mormons pulled, by the Mormons leaving, that took 400 and, I'm thinking, 50-some, 400 and something, at least 50-some thousand scouts leaving, because there's
the
that many.
Yeah,
there's that many Mormon scouts in, which shocked me. I didn't, you know, I never thought about that, but yeah, there's 450,000 scouts that are Mormons that they pulled the pin. They said, we're out of here, you know. And there are other people doing it, you know. so let's go on. Here's another one. Now, you know, I talk a lot about things like, you know, how Hollywood tries to get you to do something, you know, by brainwashing, you know, putting things forward and putting ideas, like in kids' heads, you know, having gay characters in cartoons and things to make kids think it's all right. Okay. Well, here's a blatant one, and for you, Show Dogs. Now that's a new movie out. You know, it's about a dog and his master, but I guess the dog can talk. I haven't seen the movie. Okay, so let's go with this. Show Dog. It's been criticized by some experts because it sends the wrong message to kids. Now, do you know what grooming is? For the record, like if I'm a child abuser and I'm an adult, I groom the kid. Now, you know what that means?
I always thought it was rubbing on them.
Okay, well, no, grooming isn't rubbing on them. Grooming is being overtly nice to them, you know, or showing them and telling them stories about this and that before they ever try and do something to them. You know, they might give them candy and then read them a storybook that says it's okay to do this or that, or subtle hits to put it in their head, and they don't just come up and just all of a sudden abuse you. They try to brainwash you. And to making you comfortable with them and also making you comfortable with the act that you want to do. Okay, here's the show. A children's movie about a police dog who goes undercover at a dog show has become under fire for a controversial scene which many liken to the way a sexual predator grooms kids for abuse. Show Dogs, which stars William Arnett and some dog named Ludacris, I guess I'm going to call it, as a police dog team. He is being forced to defend a scene where Ludacris' character, a Rottweiler named Max, has a Brazilian wax in order to prepare for his undercover role at the dog show. In the PG-rated film, PG, Max, a police dog, must learn how to be a show dog, which includes learning how to behave during the inspection of his genitals by the judges. He is told to go to his Zen place during his inspection. Many critics were quick to slam the film for grooming children to learn to be comfortable with inappropriate touching.
Right.
Okay, let me finish. The U.S. National Center on Sexual Exploitation quickly came out against the movie, saying the film sends a troubling message that grooms children for sexual abuse. It contains multiple scenes where a dog's character must have its private parts inspected, in the course of which the dog is uncomfortable and wants to stop, but is told to go to a Zen place. The dog is rewarded with advancing to the final round of the dog show after passing this barrier. Anyway, disturbingly, these are similar tactics used by child abusers when they're grooming children, telling them to pretend that they're someplace else and they'll get a reward for withstanding their discomfort. Children's movies must be to a higher standard and must teach children autonomy to say no with the confusing message. Now, this show, I read about the scenes, and not only are they talking, they also show it, so his master tells the dog, well, I'm going to get you ready for this, and so the master plays with him, you know.
That's disgusting.
And this is a kid's movie. And then, you know, but, now see, there was, now this is from CBN News, okay, let's just a second. Okay, blah, blah. Responding to, now this is a new article out today. It says, we apologize. Filmmakers drastically changed the movie after accusations that groom children for sex abuse. So there was people that got saved by people opening their mouth. And the Christian, this is, Christian Broadcasting Network, people like that pick it up and they raised enough Cain, it changed things. You know, so according to this article, they took the scenes out of the movie that showed those things. They're no longer part of the movie. But here's my point. I have actually 2 points. Number one, this is a continual onslaught by Hollywood and movie makers that you would think that would just naturally know that that was the wrong thing to do.
Right. You know, that's disgusting in the first place.
Right. Absolutely. Secondly, but what it also shows, which is a praise report, is that what I've been saying all along, if Christians would do their jobs and just stand up and use that thing called a mouth and their brain and talk about it, then it would change things. This changed the movie. And, you know, so it's for the record, I'm still not going to want to see that movie. It's already ruined it for me, even though I like kids' movies. But the point is, and it will be out this weekend, but it still ruined it for me. There's no way that, and that's the kind of stand that we need to start taking.
So if it's not even out yet, what do? Have previews or something, and then they...
Yeah, they have pre-release, and you've been to a couple of them with Sharon.
So after that preview, then they took those scenes out of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't.
They just clipped them out.
To my understanding, it wasn't broadly released yet. It was just, you know, preview screens.
Yeah, I said they clipped those two scenes out.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But the point is this is the perversion that, you know, wonder why society is the way that it is. It's because they consistent onslaught of watching TV and TV taken as reality. You know. Young kids watching that, somebody try to, I agree with them, told me, they say, well, that's probably all right. The dog did it, you know.
Yeah, they'd be playing with their animals. That's disgusting.
And there's that, yeah. And it didn't think that when you have kids out there trying to play with them, excuse me, I won't say what, but.
Yeah, that's not right.
You know, and mind you, again, this is a kid's movie.
A PG-13, that means a PG,
well, it's not even
13,
it's just
PG. That means little kids, yeah.
You know.
That's just horrible.
Okay, let's move on. Let's see what else have I got in here. Well, we've got about 3 minutes. We'll do this one and then we'll go on. Okay, a Michigan pastor is convinced that he, and I, folks, I will send this one, a link to this over to the pastor's place to see the picture if you haven't. A Michigan pastor is convinced he managed to catch sight of an angel outside his home in East Jordan. Glenn Thomas, the fire chief for East Jordan, said he was absolutely stunned when he saw the image captured by his home security camera, which is only activated by a motion sensor. I said, that's an angel, and I was just blown away. Thomason told Up North Live is the name of the TV station. I couldn't wait to send it to my wife and send it to Danielle, it must be a relative or something. Anyway, I said, I got an angel on my camera and took a picture. Well, Danielle Moses, that's who Danielle is. Danielle Moses is the pastor of Jordan Rivers Church, and he's also convinced that Thorman captured a glimpse of the divine outside his house. It's really clear to me the minute I looked at the photo, it just kind of freaked me out a bit, Moses said. I went like, wow, that's an angel, and I texted him back, that's an angel. There wasn't any doubt in my mind that we were looking for something at something supernatural. Yep, folks, it's an angel. The church posted on the Facebook alongside two shots of a strange figure. I guess there is no question who is watching over their residence while they sleep. And yes, they pray the angels of the Lord will surround them and their property. These photos have not been altered in any way. And the second photo, the security camera also shot because the angel was moving away, showed both of them. Now, I've seen both pictures. There's just one right there that I'm showing you, but the other picture... It was the same. It was just moved off here like it was getting ready to leave. And so, you know, this is a fixed position security camera. And it's not one that moves around. So if it was like you said, well, what was it? Maybe a glint of light. But this thing has wings. It looks like it has a sword in its head. It has a, see the sword? It has a head. And even the second picture, you know, because those are, they don't just, a security camera, most people think that some run video, but some take a picture, and then about a second later, it takes another picture, so it doesn't use up as much film, you know, that way. And so the second picture was as convincing as this picture. So, what do you think? I mean...
Well, I told you, it's all their guardian angels.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, we have... People
the camera definitely had to pick up something. I don't know how it could just be the lighting on the camera when it's a security camera and it's on a motion sensor.
Well,
it has to pick up something had to move to make the camera take the picture.
Well, looky here. So you see a head, look at this arm, and an arm down like this. There's a sword or something like that, and there's two wings. Or it could be, actually it could be four wings, because you see how it goes like that? And a cherub has four wings.
And that's the first thing with that one, isn't it? But I don't know that light, that it could be a sword or a reflection off the light behind him.
Well, okay, well, but you can see it moving the other one. I'll get you and show you the other picture. Anyway, we'll leave it at that for a moment, folks. Make sure you can visit WichitaHomeless.com or ProphecyHour.com. And remember, I just now figured out today that I can actually take credit cards and stuff over the telephone. Yeah, that's different. And I've been wanting to do that for years, but all of the companies charge so much for it. But this is free, so it won't cost me anything to do it. And so, anyway, so pray about it, folks. If you want to make a donation, you can do it by phone. But we'll talk about that a little later when we come back in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, of course, I'm on here tonight. I have my lovely, lovely wife with me tonight, Linda, which she says mom. So, however, anyway, glad you're back.
You like rubbing that Linda in, don't you?
What do you mean I've been calling you Linda for 32 years?
That's my name.
Right, that's your...
Don't wear it out.
Don't wear it out. Okay. Here's one for you. And this will help us get into the next article, and then we'll go like this. There's a mega church guy. You know what a mega church is?
It's a bunch of churches that are together as one church.
No, a mega church is like where the remnant of Israel came from.
It's a spinoff of another church.
Well, mega church is just a big, huge church. It's got thousands of people.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's a mega church. Anything over a couple of hundred or about, you know, a few hundred people, you know, it's a mega church, a big church. I mean, mega means big. Okay, this is just craziness. Anyway, this guy's getting warned. I seen this last week, but this mega church pastor, Andy Staley's recent message that he's teaching is that Christians need to unhitch their faith from the Old Testament. He says, in a 30-minute talk, as elaborate educated flirtation with the old Christian doctrine of Macronianism. Anyway, that's an Old Testament, not an Old Testament, but that's a centuries-old doctrine that you just need basically the New Testament. And, you know, so, but there's actually people standing up and coming out and talking back about it. So he's saying you don't need it. Basically what so many churches say anyway, New Testament, they say we're a New Testament church, and they'll even give you a Bible. They'll give you a New Testament.
Lost. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. So they're a lost church is what they should be called. Lost church instead of New Testament church. It should be a lost church because they're lost without the Torah.
Amen. Well, why do you say that?
Because you can't understand the New Testament fully without the Old Testament. It's just telling you if the New Testament is there to help you understand the Old Testament. If you don't have them both, the New Testament really is nothing. You have to have the whole thing, the whole picture to get the picture. You can't just take the new and because it feels good.
Okay. Well, I will say this about the New Testament. I mean, you know, about the gospel, that you can find the message of salvation, period, you know, believing in Yeshua is there, but you won't know any about it. Brings up Sodom and Gomorrah. It brings up Noah's Ark. It brings up Torah. It brings up the law. You know, you wouldn't know what any of those things were without.
Which are forever, eternally. The Lord doesn't lie. They're not nailed to the cross like they want to believe. They can do away with them because they was nailed to the cross. No, they are for generation after generation after generation. That means for eternity.
Yeah, and it's the Torah is actually called the instructions. That's you can even ask a Muslim, and many people know they when you say the Torah, they say, oh, you mean the book of instructions,
right?
And it's instructions for the Father's holy living, for holy living, you know. And so he did give us a book of instructions.
And let alone their New Testament, which I love the New Testament too. The very last scripture in that is what thou shalt not take away or add to the word. And that's what they're doing by taking away the Torah. They're taking it away, so they're breaking the Lord's word even with their New Testament by taking away the Torah.
Right, absolutely. You can't alter things. You know,
exactly.
You can't alter.
The whole word is inspired by the Lord, and it's there for you to learn and live by, not to get rid of and do what you want to do and find a scripture that matches what you do so you're happy.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, it's just like, you know, when it goes back to the thing, when you take God's laws or God's Torah out of things, but first, let me go to the Torah for a minute. Torah, folks, I don't, you know, you say, oh, man, yuck, law. You know, that's really a bad translation. The word law, if you look up the word law, and now many concordances, you really got to look into some real books. Many concordances are starting to take out what the root word means and what the original meaning was and just putting the modern meanings in there. In fact, the other day when I did this on an online Bible instead of using the one I normally lose because I was being lazy, I could never get them to show the original meaning of the word law. But the original root word of the meaning of law is a Hebrew word, and it is Torah. And so when, you know, it's just like iniquity. Iniquity is, if you look it up, it will say being without law, but it won't say what law is on a lot of the modern ones, at least the ones that I found on just a simple search. But then I did find it on, you know, other searches, but they're trying to replace, they're trying to change history. But anyway, the root word is Torah, which Torah, and you know this, but I'm going to tell the people, the Torah is an archery term, which means hitting the mark. Sin is missing the mark,
right.
You know, and, you know, actually, they don't even, you know, in a Jewish way of thinking, old Israelite way of thinking, they really don't even, the concept of bad really isn't even there. You know, you say good and bad. Well, really bad just means lack of light, you know. It goes to light and dark. You know, there's really no such thing as dark. You know, what dark is lack of light. And it's the same way with the scriptures and the good things in your life. You just have lack of good. You know, you don't have the right things, instructions put into you. And that's what's wrong with the world. They're getting away from it. The New Testament Christians are getting away from it. They have no guideline. And if they succeed in this trash that this preacher's trying to put forward, that's going to make everybody all-inclusive because the main scriptures against witchcraft, astrology, homosexuals, all that stuff is
in the Torah. And the festivals, all those are in Leviticus.
Are in the Torah. Well, now, it tells you specifically which ones. Now, it would go with that, too, when it mentioned feasts and different things in the New Testament. How would you know what those was unless you had the Torah to tell you what
right.
they were? And so you can't eliminate them. You know, Yeshua even said, you know, remember this one, you know, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These two hang on all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, on these two things. Well, Yeshua, if you did away with the Torah, you'd have to throw that out, because Yeshua was quoting Torah.
Right.
Both of those are concepts in the Torah that is stated the same way. And so he was just repeating. When Yeshua rebuked the devil, he used words out of the Torah. When he rebuked Satan the devil, when he was taken up, you know, after just before he went into his ministry, you know, the temptation by the devil in the desert. But so if you took those things away, you take away Yeshua, you know, but if you took away the Torah, that's what I'm trying to say, if you took away the Torah, you would take away those things. And so, now, our society isn't teaching commandments. Now, we teach our grandchildren the commandments. In fact, they're in the process of learning them.
And memorizing them, yep.
Right now, yeah. And we make a fun game of it. But we'll get into one of the commandments here in a minute. The other day you had an experience and you met at the Wichita Mission Church about this lady that was, you guess her, about 58 years old. Tell us a little bit about that and the conversation you have with about children.
She's worked at a place for 11 years and she had an accident. She fell down the stairs and it severely hurt. And she was in the hospital for 9 months, and then she was in a nursing home for 3 years. Well, she said 13 months, I think. I think it was either 3 or 13 months. I don't know exactly. I can't remember. She got out, and she had nowhere to go. She had a moped and 5 or 6 bags of clothes and some other stuff. She was tugging around all over Wichita. She's got 3 children that live in Wichita. 28, 26, 24, 22, I don't remember, but they're all in their 20s, and none of their children will let her stay with them. She told me, she told them, oh, don't worry about it, you didn't ask to be born, I owe you everything, you owe me nothing. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're all in their 20s, you rose until they're 18, and now you're homeless, you're on the street, you have nowhere to go, and they won't let you sleep on their couch. They need to take care of you. No, 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 I'm not going to impose on them. We were both in tears by the end of the conversation. And she's homeless. She told the Lord, I can't carry all this stuff around. So she gave everything away except for one backpack on her back and a bicycle that she needs to get her tire fixed, because for some reason the valve's down. Nobody knew how to air her tire up, and you weren't there that day, and I couldn't get away to take her to Walmart, and everybody told her to take her tube back and get it. And then on top of things, she got assaulted. So.
Okay, well, she shows that tomorrow I'll take care of that problem.
At the Lord's Diner, and I hate to tell the name of the place, but it's really disgustingly terrible. 17 men stood there and watched her get beat up and her purse taken in broad daylight.
Wait a minute,
and
not,
they would not,
not
help
the Lord's
her.
It's not the Lord's Diner.
No, it's the open
drop,
door. The open
door. Open door.
Right.
Out in the park.
And then she went in the building to ask to use the phone to call the police, and they told her, no, you're not calling the police from here. You need to go down, move on, go on, go call them somewhere else. It happened right there in their place, and they would not let her call the police. And none of the men would help her. That is disgusting.
Okay, well, let's address this a second. Now, you know, not in defense of any of the men, but, you know, there are some pretty bad characters out there, and I don't know whether this is a gang or circumstance, and it is wrong that nobody should stand there and not help her, because, you know, I don't care what the odds are, you know, I'm going to stand
up. If I'd have been there, I would have helped her.
Okay, well, don't cry. But let's go with this. Number one, we'll talk about the drop energy that folks is a. And I appreciate what they do. Now, no matter what, I still appreciate anybody that does anything for the homeless and poor, and this is the only other place that they can go unharassed in Wichita, during the daytime, to hang out. There is no other place that the police won't harass them. But because of the guy that runs the place that's there now, and I don't know his name and I don't want to use his name, the police have even told me that and I know that there's not murders. I haven't seen a murder, but there's been people stabbed in the parking lot and beat up, robbed,
right.
rape, all this, right in the parking lot. And the biggest reason for that that it isn't cleaned up is because the man, the new director of the place, has told the police straight out, you're not allowed here. You've got to have a warrant to get here. And so the police have basically said, well, if they get there, they're on their own. They're cutting their own throat by trying to force us off of there. But this wasn't to talk about that, you know.
No, it was about the lady, which I really feel for.
Anyway, but moving from that, you know, let's go with this. So, you know, she shouldn't be in this position in the first place with family. And we were talking about being tourless. Well, it comes down to this. Now, Now, if you get to the commandment, the fifth commandment is honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And of course, I read out of the King James Bible. But so it the commandment, first off, tells you, honor your father and mother, that your days, not your father and mother's days, but your days, it's a blessing, that you'll be blessed with longer life, that your land, that you will be around longer, you know. But the funny thing about that, now, this clearly, these children are in violation of this. You know, they're not taking their mother in. If their mother said, oh, I don't owe you anything, they should be still saying, no, Mom, come on, I'm taking you in. Or they should pool their money and get her a place to live. They should do something. They're dishonoring their mother, and therefore they break the commandment. But apparently these children haven't been taught the commandment, you know. And that's what's wrong with society. And actually, folks out there, I don't care if you're 60 years old and your mom's 80 or 90. If you do something wrong, you're dishonoring your mother and father.
Right.
No matter what you do, if you do something wrong, that commandment always comes into play.
And it doesn't matter if they're living or they've passed. You're still dishonoring them if you do something wrong. The God still knows. He's still marking it in your little book that he keeps track of what you do. Yes, he still knows when you dishonor him.
Yeah, and you know what? When our children were growing up, you used to have them pick out when they did something wrong, have them pick out the commandment.
That'd be the first one, right?
If I couldn't nail them on one of the other ones, you know, specifically, I always say, well, you dishonored me, write that over, you know, 10 times or whatever. But that is the truth. That's dishonoring. But it goes back like that. We're living in a lawless society, a society that is getting out of the Old Testament, like the article about the preacher that was doing that. And that goes along with the other heresy of that pastor that has aerial displays, you know, with girls.
I didn't hear about that one.
You didn't hear about that one? I said it on radio a couple of times. There's a pastor in I can't think of the name of the city. I'm thinking it's Atlanta, but don't quote me on that. But there's a pastor that now, he brings in, while he's doing, they have a lot of entertainment there, but while he's preaching, you know, giving his message, he has these two, you know, you ever seen that? It looks like a rope, but it's kind of ribbon-like things, and girls climb up of it and spin around and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like it's in a circus is where you see that.
Right.
They're called aerialists. And they wear, you know, they wear little outfits that are clear up here like this, you know what I mean? Naked legs and all that. Well, that's part of his message every week that he wants these girls to use their gifts, so they climb up there and spin around and everything while he's preaching the gospel. What do you think about that?
That's terrible.
That's terrible. But you see, it's the entertainment factor. This other preacher gets rid of the commandments so he can woke everybody in. You know, gets rid of the Torah. Well, he can have church to be whatever he wants it to be as the other pastor. But you see, that's heresy. It's just completely wrong. It's not going off the doctrine. So if you're in a church that's anything like that, now while I'm a constant person that says that you need to change your church, you need to witness to your church, but if your church is doing those things, you might give a witness on the way out the door.
Right.
You know?
Don't let the door slam.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's just really, really terrible. Anyway, and so while we're here, I might as well say, so how's things at the church?
Mostly out of everything.
Mostly out of everything. Well, let's say if you're... Now, you know, there's a difference between the people in Wichita, because Wichita could just come by and bring something, and people, you know, and we do have people that have sent us boxes over the years. In fact, when it used to be not internet and just newsletters, we'd come home and the yard would be full of boxes that people mailed to us. But if you're living in Wichita, what would you tell those people if they wanted to the kind of things they could bring?
Right now, for Friday, we're out of to-go plates, we're out of forks, we're out of cups, and we're out of sugar. That's the four things we need for Friday. Besides that, we need eggs, we need ketchup, mustard. Well, we got plenty of ketchup. Mustard, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, coffee, tea, plates.
So tomorrow's going to be a day of faith.
Yeah, like just about every day.
Yeah, well, and tomorrow's my day, folks. Anyway, so here's the point. So my question to you is this. Can you give a big... now, you can go to Sam's and get these things. But if you, if
oh,
somebody,
and we're out of trash bags too.
And we're out of trash bags too. That's really a disaster. you know, well, they fill up a couple of buckets. Anyway, let's go with this. What kind of money are we talking about for a trip to that, to the store for that? What would cover
just
it?
Just for that trip to Sam's, I need a couple hundred, 200 to cover.
Just for Friday?
Yeah. Well, just to pick up that stuff. I can tell you what everything costs. The plates cost $20. The forks cost $18. The cups cost another $20. Sugar cost $15.
Did you have sugar on that load?
Yeah. Well, if you get it at Sam's, it's 12 something, 12 plus tax. But if you get it at Walmart, it's $9. So save a little bit of money. But
pounds.
You can't spend all your time running to every other store. So it's usually a time factor with us.
Right.
We never have the money until we get there. And then we have time that we have to. You have to just make one store, because if you spend all your time running, time's gone.
Right.
So Sam's is probably the best place, and yeah, a couple hundred dollars would
take
care of it. Stock it for a week.
Okay, but if you live in Wichita, what about clothing? Couldn't they drop off clothing?
Yeah, they can drop off clothing anytime, yeah.
Well, you need, that's what I'm asking you, Phil, because you live in Wichita, what kind of things can they just drop off? Besides
anything that the Lord puts on our heart, we can use anything and everything. Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. 900 South Broadway, 1 to 6, Tuesday and Friday.
Okay, well, you can call me at 316-619-4886 in Wichita. Let me know you're coming. That's always best, or just park them back and walk in the back door through the gate. Stop off at the kitchen and say, hey, Pastor Dan or Sister Linda here, or Craig, and we will help you distribute, you know, to bring him whatever you bring him. And really, it is whatever the Father puts on your heart. The homeless and poor need what you need. And, you know, I was telling him last week, gave him a stat that, you know, that 43% of the Americans, you know, people in the United States, legal citizens, I'd assume, but I don't know, it could be the illegals too, but 43% of the people in the United States cannot afford to pay rent. All these things together, rent,
right,
electricity, gas, water, food, daycare, and cell phone.
Insurance.
No, well, they didn't even say insurance. Cell phone. They didn't even put a car in that. And can't even afford that.
Right.
And that's excluding a car and insurance or
anything. That explains why most of the time a lot of the people that come to eat at 4:30 were not really packed, but at 4:30 at dinner time. We are packed because people from the neighborhood come to eat. I met the gentleman that's directly behind us in the yellow house that everybody said was an agent. No, he's not.
I know.
He came over and got food and introduced himself and told me all about Daniel. And yeah, he says he's going to be there for a while, but he wishes he was. He's going to pastor school. He's going to be ordained. He's got to go three years. And I told him, well, you need to seek the Holy Spirit to learn from.
Okay. I don't want to waste our last 3 minutes on it. And for the record, yeah, and he did volunteer to run errands or do anything that we needed to do.
His car broke down Tuesday at Walmart in the parking lot.
I guess I won't ask him to run an errand. But I have it. I'm like this. If somebody wants to help something, I want them to just come over and donate their time.
Right.
You know? And for the record, Wichita people, we could always use help from 4:30 on for cleanup. You know, and that's the one thing.
Especially on Tuesdays, because I wind up getting stuck by myself.
Yeah, and you end up cleaning the whole church by yourself. And, yeah, we could use a volunteer to do cleanup. And, you know, that's the one thing. I've had so many people come in and volunteer and say, hey, I want to help out. Like they want to come in and be ministers or something. And I say, well, you know, I do have a job. You show up at 4:30. I need to help to mop the floor and sweep the floor and so on and never see them again.
Never. Come
never.
Back.
Zip, gone. Bye. You know, it just don't happen. Anyway, I'm having them. Okay, now then. All right, we are running out of time. So I guess I better tell them. Now, look, folks, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You are listening to radio, and it's not free. I have not. I've been paying the station late every month. I still owe money for this month. So pray about it and see if, pray about a donation. Now you can donate online or now you can donate over the phone now that I learned how to do that. And it does work because I did it today. So you can donate online or over the telephone or you can mail a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can call 620-878-4682 and leave a message. You can call my cell phone, 316-619-4886. And if you want to talk to my lovely wife, you want to give your number out?
Well, I never hear it, but it's 316-648-4963. But if you don't get me, leave me a message. I check it regularly, but I don't even know if the ringer works because a lot of times I'll be sitting right beside it and miss the call. I'm like, how the heck? I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sometimes takes you maybe a day to check your messages.
Sometimes.
So anyway, and also on my cell phone, you can send me a text if you do not get me by calling, but please leave a message. Sometimes I do just ignore my cell phone because that only usually comes after I said, okay, today I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to answer every call. And I start answering calls, and the first two or three are all solicitors.
Postman for your credit card.
Yeah, and that stupid credit card company
keeps saying,
get a credit card protection. We're calling about your credit card, and we want to protect it.
Hang up on them quick because they don't call you. They just want your information to rob you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Or the one that says, this is an agent for the FBI. We know
and we're going to arrest you if you don't pay this fine right now.
Yeah, I get that. That's a regular one. I've been getting that for 2 or 3 years, you know. But anyway, folks, you don't want to hear about all this. But if you have a topic you'd like for my wife and I to talk about, send it to me. You can email me, call me, text me, something. You know how to communicate. At least I think you do, because most of you do have cell phones out there. So, remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. You want to say goodbye to them before I go into the last of that? Do you want to say anything?
Shalom. Hey, am I coming back next week?
I don't know.
I'll be back next week and the week after.
No, you won't. The next week after you
won't.
Well,
I got to make up the week I missed for last week.
What? Now, you did that today. You
this
weren't
is my
on
regular
schedule.
Week.
Zip. Anybody want to do something with... anyway. Yes, she'll be back next week. And the next week after that is Pastor Carl Gallup's in her time slot. So she won't be back the next week, but she'll be back.
Or the week after, because then I do food bank. Second week of the month is food bank.
Okay, well, I got to go. Remember, folks, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will never be any real peace without his return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them. And you would be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.